Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Now, a look at America from someone who was born in Ethiopia, raised by parents who were originally from India, and then became American after moving to a very small town in the U.S. Joining us as part of our My America series, Dr. Abraham Verghese, professor of the theory and practice of medicine at Stanford University Medical School, and best-selling author of My Own Country, A Doctor's Story, and Cutting for Stone. In the early 1980s, Dr. Verghese immigrated to the U.S. for a medical residency, and then to rural Tennessee to treat gay men afflicted with HIV/AIDS. And Abraham, coming to the U.S. as you did, looking back at your time in Tennessee, looking at where you are now, I imagine you have some pretty strong opinions on what it means to become an American.
Yes, I do indeed, Celeste. I think what happens when you've come from elsewhere, especially, as in my case, when you've left a nation that's in turmoil and civil war and so on, is you really have a deep appreciation of what it means to be in a country that protects your religious freedom, your political freedom, something I think that maybe native-born Americans don't always appreciate because it's so much, you know, part of the background. But for me, it was terribly poignant, and I have strong memories of landing in Kennedy and the whole sense of arrival. And even more, I have a tremendous memory of becoming a citizen. It happened, you know, several years after I'd been here, and it was an incredibly moving moment for me. I don't think that I expected it to be as moving as it turned out to be. Again, a sense of, despite not having been born here, you know, having found the land that would now define my destiny and that of my children, terribly important.
Although that was probably colored by your own experience in your native-born country, where you were born in Ethiopia, but you had to leave. That may have made the citizenship ceremony here in the United States that much more moving for you.
Yeah, and I think there was one further level of remove. Even though I was born in Ethiopia and speak the language exceedingly well, my parents were of Indian origin and had been hired there as teachers. So, you know, the land I was born to was not the land of my parents. And, you know, when push came to shove, expatriates were asked to leave. And I had never heard that term before. I never understood myself as being an expatriate. And, you know, it was an important moment of dislocation, perhaps a defining moment, I think, as a writer. I always feel I'm on the outside looking in wherever I am. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm very happy here. But there are, you know, traditions and things that, you know, people who've been born in one town have that I envy. You know, I never had the ritual of possum pie and Friday night football or whatever your particular ritual happens to be. And I miss that, but I do have a deep appreciation for what it means to have a home like this.
Well, I don't know if you're missing much on the possum pie, though. But Abraham, you know, the many identities in America, that's certainly the narrative of all of our, you know, more than 200 years of existence as a nation. But there's also the identity of you as a doctor. And I'm wondering if working as a doctor in a small American town gives you a different sense of community than maybe most people have, because in a small town, if you know who the doctor is, if you know the person you trust to tell your health, if you know the person who's going to take care of you, it really defines your quality of life.
Yeah, it does. And I felt incredibly privileged to study medicine in America, but also to practice medicine, you know, in both rural and urban communities. And I remember in the heydays of HIV in the 80s, there I was practicing in rural Tennessee, and, you know, I was very much an alien in that town. I was different looking, I spoke differently, I was foreign trained, and yet the patients I began to accumulate, young men with HIV, in a way they were more alien in my town than I would ever be because of their sexuality. And I always thought that was tremendously ironic. Here were these hometown boys who looked the part, who played the part, who, you know, knew all the rituals of possum pie and whatnot, and yet in a funny way they were more alien in that town than I would ever be because of their sexuality. It was a curious thing. It's one of the reasons that I titled my first book My Own Country, that sense of irony about this being their country but not being their country in a funny way because of their, you know, ostracization by their sexuality. And, you know, I often felt that there was a part of them that made them come to see me not just because I like to think I was a decent physician. But there was also a sense that because I was not of that town, I would not judge them, or maybe I didn't have the right to judge them. Whereas, you know, had they gone to the office of a hometown boy physician, you know, there would have been this immediate sense, perhaps, in their mind that there was someone there sitting there across the desk who would pass judgment on them in a way that I had no right to, perhaps. But it was a strange bond we had that had everything to do with my foreignness as much as anything else.
Well, you know, there's another word for a hometown boy here in the States, and that's all-American boy, Abraham. I wonder how what that tells you about small towns, hometowns in this, your adopted country.
Yeah, I think, you know, the lesson of those small towns for me was that, you know, all the sort of prejudices, such as the one we just talked about, sexuality and so on, are so superficial. And when push comes to shove, when a disease like HIV hits the family, I think what impressed me the most was how much family comes to the forefront, how much love trumps all prejudice, you know. And I mean, you're talking about patriotism today, and, you know, patriotism, narrowly viewed, is, you know, I love my country because I was born here. But I would argue that I'm even more deeply patriotic because I wasn't born here.
But you also found, it seems, that that willingness to be a clean slate, a sort of a blank slate, which is what every American who lands here is until they acquire a community, that that's a really universal American value that trumped so much in Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that people, you know, ultimately may make some superficial judgments on you, but they inherently are welcoming. And even in a rural community that doesn't see much in the way of immigrants, you know, there was a strong sense that many of the doctors there were foreign graduates for the precise reason that, you know, it was hard to get American graduates to come settle in a small town and, you know, live out their lives there in the absence of a symphony and a ballpark and, you know, a professional baseball team and all that good stuff. So very much so, a clean slate. That's what America offers.
But you'd call yourself a patriot.
I call myself a patriot in the broadest sense. My most vivid memory of becoming a citizen was being in this old courthouse in Greenville, Tennessee, home of one of our former presidents. And, you know, it seemed like a routine ceremony, but the federal judge who addressed us said something very important that I took away about, you know, how this country was really a gift to us in many ways. And now it was incumbent on us to give back. And now that might just seem like, you know, pablum, something that people say. But at that moment, it profoundly moved me. And, you know, my patriotism consists of the sense of, you know, being deeply obliged and giving back. I spent the great majority of my career in county hospitals, and I tremendously enjoyed that. A sense of, if I weren't there, I'm not sure the patients would have got quite the same care than if I'd been elsewhere.
Are those values hard to transmit to your own kids who were born here?
To some degree, I think they take a lot for granted. They're immune to the tales of my struggle and how I got here and all that stuff. But I think that's how it should be. I mean, you know, I precisely wanted them to be born to a land where their geography is their destiny. I love that phrase, by the way, geography is destiny, because it seems so trite, but it's so true. I mean, my destiny was changed because I was born elsewhere. And if you bring about a change in your geography, you bring about a change in your destiny. And I'm happy for my kids to have a consistent geography and therefore, you know, one of the best destinies one can have in this world.
Abraham Verghese, professor for the theory and practice of medicine at Stanford University Medical School, author of several best-selling books, including My Own Country and Cutting for Stone. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.